So we're looking at the passage from John chapter 15. If you'd like to turn to that in your Bibles. Jesus says this, "I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Those who do not remain in me are thrown out like a branch and dry up. Such branches are gathered up and are thrown into the fire where they are burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you'll ask for anything you wish and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciple. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, love one another just as I love you. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. This then is what I command you, love one another." This is the last of Jesus' great I am sayings. We've been looking through the other six, and Mark was doing I am the gate, or I am the door, or I am the good shepherd last Sunday. And so this Sunday we're looking at the last one, which is I am the true vine. And it's in the context of Jesus about to go to the cross. And so it's almost a last will and testament, if you like, in John's gospel. If you look in the other gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, there's different commissions that Jesus gives his disciples. But this is the largest and most detailed set of instructions that he gives his disciples before he goes to the cross and leaves them. So it's really important that we connect in with this because there's kind of key high-level important discipleship points and truths that we've to get from this. A whole image of Jesus as the vine and the Father as the gardener, or the vine tender. So what's the purpose of this, the passage, the whole thing? Where is it leading to? And I would suggest to you that verse 16 holds the answer to the way that we interpret the rest of the passage. So at the end of this whole imagery that Jesus presents of the vine and us as the branches, he says, "I chose you," that's us, "and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Okay, so the sole purpose of what he's saying to the disciples is that once he goes, he's resurrected and the Holy Spirit comes back down and empowers them, that through that empowering, they then bear this lasting fruit. And it's more than just about having salvation secured and knowing that we're going to be with Jesus when we die, that our sins are forgiven, and nothing's going to stop us enjoying eternal life with him. This has a much bigger meaning. It's about bearing fruit in this life as well, because the things that we do in this life have a bearing on what we do in the next. And so God wants us, when we come to Jesus and we say, "Yes, come into my life, Jesus, have complete control," He wants us to start that fruitful living from day one. Not just hope and wait till the end that we'll be okay in eternity, but actually to begin that eternal life now. And so if you take that perspective, then the bodily death is only just a blip in that great eternal work that each one of us is called to do. And this is where we start. And it's fruit that lasts, so that when the stuff that we do now actually gets mentioned in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to meet my Savior and for him to look at the list of all the things I've gone and just go, oh, yeah, I saw that. Well done. Yeah, oh, I like that. Well done. Yep, good stuff. I'm glad you stuck in there and did that. Well done. That would just be marvelous to be able to do that. I don't know whether that's going to happen. I hope so and I pray so. But, you know, the opposite of that, for Jesus to welcome us and say, well, you're here with me for eternity, but, you know, I was... You know, there are the things that we do here do matter. They don't matter in terms of our eternal salvation, but they do matter about how much we get to do stuff in the heavenly places with him. There are rewards in heaven, because Paul says that in Corinthians and other places. He says, I don't want to miss out on that prize. I don't want to miss out on the heavenly prize that you've, and reward that is in our in being in Christ. Okay, so there's a bit of a context here of heavenly reward and prize, so that we understand that bearing abiding fruit is incredibly important in eternal terms. But as I say, it's not because we're trying to earn our salvation. We're not trying to earn Jesus' approval. We're just doing the things that he does by his life flowing through us. So I don't want to give you the impression that I'm saying, right, work hard, everybody, and then you can be sure that God will be pleased with you. It's actually much more about stepping into the vine and allowing his life flow to flow through us as the branches. So our job is to abide in him to be fruitful, not to strive and to work hard. So let's look at the imagery a bit closer. And I think this is a vineyard from California. Not that that's particularly important, but I quite like the look of it. Quite like to own a vineyard, actually, in California, or because they speak English there. So Jesus is the vine in this imagery, obviously. The Father is the pruner, or the person who cleans the vine like this chap's doing here. And we, or you plural, so yous. we don't have this in English. We have it in Scots, the plural you, or yourselves, or the branches. So it has two levels, which is important to take on board here, that Jesus is speaking to the church, plural, because the Greek word there for you is plural, but it also has individual implications as well. So each one of us as individuals needs to bear fruit for God, but also the church, us corporately. And that's quite important because I'm going to say something slightly difficult on the next slide. All right, so I'm preparing you in advance for this, and you need to weigh this word to see whether you think this is from the Lord or not. I have wrestled with this word all week at various times because I believe that in this passage, there are three possible states for the branches to be in, i.e. we as a church and as individuals connected to Jesus. Most of the commentaries will say there are only two states that the branch can be in. One is that you're abiding in him and being pruned, and the other is that you're not abiding in him, i.e. you don't have Jesus living in your heart, so therefore you wither and eventually things are burnt up. And I think that there's a third type of branch in there which speaks corporately to the church, and that's the first one. Sorry, that's the second one there. So if I go through them in turn, then you can weigh this up and test this, whether you think this is from the Lord. But because of the first phrase in this passage at verse 1, Jesus talks about two types of branches that abide in him. So he says, firstly, those that abide in him are bearing fruit, but they still need to be pruned or cleaned. So that's the first kind of situation to be in. The second kind is to abide in him, but not bearing fruit. And the Greek there is that you get thrown away or lifted up. And I thought that's a very intriguing idea. Is there a possibility that somebody who has welcomed Jesus into their life, but for some reason or another, that fruitfulness has completely gone, can they be reconnected back into the vine again? And I would say that I think this verse connects to us as a church, or to churches in general. So there's groups of people that for whatever reason, the life of God dries up in that church. And we have this situation in Revelation, where the Apostle John is giving a revelation to seven of the churches. And two of these churches he gives particular warnings to, and that's the church in Ephesus and Sardis. And Ephesus had the accusation he had against them. Can you remember what that was? The church in Ephesus, they'd lost their first love. And he said, I will remove your lampstand unless you repent and do the works you did at first. And those works are to reconnect with him, to love him and to love others. So I think there's a, when Jesus is talking about lifting up these branches that are no longer fruitfulness, it's to speak this word over them and say, you know, it's not looking good at the moment, but if you repent and return to loving me and return to loving each other, these fundamentals of the Christian faith and being a disciple, then I will lift you up and then reconnect you again. That's what I believe that he's saying to these churches in Ephesus and Sardis. And I think that's what it's meant by this second state that we can be in of abiding in him but not bearing fruit. You'll notice there isn't a state where you're just bearing fruit and nothing happens. Okay, so each one of us will know that we need to get a bit of pruning. And sometimes that pruning can be a bit painful when it starts cutting away some of the dead wood that's not needed. That's not always a pain-free process, as many of you who are in this walk with the Lord as a disciple will know. And I don't want to be here this morning and say it's all going to be rosy and happy and there isn't going to be any pain in this process, but sometimes there is. And there's no pain without hey, exactly. So we know that if we abide in him and we're connected into him and we're saying, Jesus, I'm for you. I want you to sort me out and to prune me in the way you want. Then we know the long-term benefits of doing that is that we become more fruitful because, of course, a vine doesn't bear fruit for very long unless you keep pruning it back and cleaning it, making sure all the bugs get taken off it. And so each one of us is in a way needing continual MOTs and services of pruning and cleaning to make sure that we remain fruitful in God. So if we move on then to some of the key points about how you remain in that relationship with God and with Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. So there's a mutual thing going on here that he's calling us both to be in him, in Christ, and also for Christ to be in me. As I've said before, I don't fully understand how that works because it's amazing to me that the full extent of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives in me. And if you read the passage in John, you'll find out that that's the case, that it's all three members of the Godhead that dwell in us, and we dwell in all three members of the Godhead. It's an astounding truth and completely revelatory to the disciples. It was all completely new to them that somehow you could have God living in you. The word in here has connotations of covenant as well. It's the word that's used in the Old Testament for describing the fact that the Israelites were in covenant, they were in God. And it has that covenant promise of God's redemption and salvation that is redolent in this word in, that just surrounds it with that sense of that covenant, that relationship which says it doesn't matter what you've done or who you are or where you've been, I love you and you are grafted into me. The words I in you, if you want a literal translation of that, it means safeguard your relationship with me so that I continue to abide fully in you. So that means that in order to bear fruit, we need to step back, as I said earlier, and remember that we are loved by Jesus, that we're in him, and to spend time cultivating that. You know, the best way to build a friendship is to spend time with a friend. And that's what Jesus is calling us to remember to do. That there's some great quotes I can remember. I think Martin Luther once said, Martin Luther was a great reformer back in the 16th century. He said, I've got a really busy day today, so I'm going to, rather than spend 2 hours in prayer, I'm going to spend 3 hours in prayer. And I thought, how did he manage that then? To get through all the things he had to do. But of course, that when you do spend that time with Jesus, quality time, and don't like that phrase particularly, but that's what he's calling us to be and do, is to get into that place where we're spending that quality time so that, remarkably, some of the things that we were worried about and we thought would take a long time get really sorted out. And I know this from past experience, the amount of time I spend worrying about stuff and getting worked up and saying, how's that going to work? And if it works that way, then that'll mean this and that. And then actually, when you get down to it, if you pray about it and spend the time with Jesus just ordering your life, getting stuff in the right order, and then embark on the busyness, somehow that doesn't seem quite as busy. And somehow it doesn't seem to be in any way going out of control in the way that you thought it was. It's about trusting in him and taking what we have in him and the times that we spend with him in that secret place of relationship and safeguarding that above all else. It's the most important and key thing for us all as disciples to do, is to, like Jesus, when he went off on his own to be with the Father, to spend time with him, we need to do that as well. Otherwise, that life flow and that abiding fruit doesn't work so well. And as we begin to abide in him, we start to get stirred up with the things that stir him up. And that first thing is to realize that when you abide in him, you're in his love. And so you're no longer a slave, as in the situation in the Roman Empire where you just told somebody to do something and they had to do it and they didn't have a choice in it. It's not that kind of relationship at all with God. It's from a place of not being a bondservant, which is the term for a slave in the New Testament, but being a friend. And friendship with God has love at the center. So it's all about that. And the brilliant thing which the text tells us to do is that when we have friendship at the center and love is in that, then we get to hear what our friend wants to say. If we spend time with him, his promise in our word is that we'll start hearing from him. That might be that he begins to talk to us powerfully through the scriptures, or he brings a word which we can then weigh up with scripture. You know, there's so many ways that God can start speaking to us. But we have that promise that when we spend time with him in friendship, then we actually, it is our birthright as disciples and believers in him to hear from him and to find out what the Father's heart is. That's what abiding love is all about. It's knowing the heart of your friend. When we get to that place where we're abiding with him, then we start to pray the right prayers and get prayers answered. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me and me in you, then, and my words abide in you, then actually you get your prayer life on the right tram tracks, on the right rails, the right way of thinking. It's not that, you know, it's perfectly possible to pray stupid prayers that are not of God. We're all capable of doing that. oh, Lord, I'd quite like a Ferrari for my Christmas. I wonder if my wife would buy me one. Please, 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 Lord. That's a stupid prayer, okay? The disciples were pretty good at stupid prayers. They said, oh, Jesus, which can we have chairs on each side of you when we go to glory? And Jesus going, oh, that's not what it's about, guys. It's about servant-heartedness. So it's perfectly possible, and we're all capable of praying the wrong stuff. But as you progress as a Christian, and as you really seek the Lord and seek to abide in his presence and for his words to abide in us, then it's like the heartbeats. I've talked about this before. His heartbeat then starts beating with yours. So you get, oh, okay, Lord, that's what you want. Okay, I pray into that. I pray into what I'm hearing from you. It's a bit like that when we're in a prayer ministry situation, when we're praying for folk. We're trying to hear from the Lord, what is it you have for this person? You hear something, you start to, well, it is for me anyway, I start to speak it out. And as I do that, I feel the Lord's heart for this person coming, and I'm able to articulate the words that I think are from him for that person. So it's about allowing the Holy Spirit in. And this phrase came to me, which I think kind of encapsulates where we want to be in our prayers. So let the Holy Spirit bring the Father's word into your heart so that your heart moves for the things that move his. That our hearts move for the things that move his. Because that's what it's all about. It's not what is in my heart, but if my heart moves for what moves his heart, then that's what brings the abiding fruit. We start to do things that have the stamp of divine authority over them and divine favor. And we start to walk out in those things. So I would encourage you to spend that time with the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to come, to move you in the things that move him. So I quite like these sequences. So I always like to try and finish up a word with summarizing what I believe the Lord is saying to us through the passage. And I think there is a sequence here which is revealed in John 15, verse 16, the fruit-bearing sequence. The first part of that sequence is knowing that we're chosen. God chooses those that he wishes to follow him. I believe he chooses everybody, but not everybody chooses him. And that's why everybody doesn't become Christians. But that invitation, that choice, is something that God extends to us. And when he chooses, he appoints. He appoints us to bear good fruit. When I got my second job here in Edinburgh, I was sent a letter appointing me to that position. It was written down so that when I turned up at work, they couldn't say, who are you? I had the letter showing that I'd been appointed. We have the letter this morning in God's word. And let's hear it. You are appointed. We are appointed. I am appointed. Jesus said, I am appointed and anointed to bring good news. It's a bit of a cliched phrase, but I love it. You're appointed and anointed. God calls you, he chooses you. He said, this is what I want you to do. And now I anoint you with my Holy Spirit's power to enable you to do that. And through that process, we have a responsibility to abide in him, to stay connected to him, to hear what his heart is, to allow his words to abide in us, so that the words that we speak are the words of grace and truth. And then everybody gets sent. I'm not saying you're all about to be sent to Madagascar or somewhere like that, but we all get sent into a situation, a place, or to a person in order to share words and acts of life, to produce abiding fruit, not just in our life, but in the relationships that we have with others. And it says also in this passage that as we abide in him and produce abiding fruit, that we get filled up with joy. So it's not just joy for our own benefit, overflowing joy, so that you can't stop actually smiling at people and wanting the best for him. See, I'm doing it now. You just get filled up with joy of the glory and the presence of God because you're connected with him. You can't spend much time with Jesus without being filled up with joy. And it's the antidote to all the stuff that comes against you. Many weeks stuff comes against us which will want to rob us of the joy. That's what the enemy wants to do, is to rob you of joy. But even in the tough times, it's about abiding with him so that fullness of joy comes and is overflowing. And then, what does the scripture say when we're in this place? We get what we ask him for. We actually get answers to our prayers. If we're fully working in this and being in this sequence of fruit bearing, then we get what we ask for. Because if we do that properly, our hearts beat for what moves his. So I want to pray with us this morning before we close that we get this sequence right and working in our hearts. So there might be some repentance that you need to do in your own heart, that you've not been connected into Jesus enough, that you're kind of thinking you can do things on your own strength, that it's about what you can do for him rather than being in him. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but we want to get the connections right. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this picture of the vine. Thank you that we don't have to do everything ourselves because you're growing, Jesus. You are the life. And that as the branches, we're connected into you. So Lord, we don't fear your pruning. We welcome it because we want to bear fruit. We have a job to do. You've chosen us. And we thank you for that, Lord, that choice is not made because we're good or because we've done anything or because we're a particular person, but it's just because you love people, you love us, you love others, that you've chosen us. Lord, I thank you that you've appointed us. There is a call on our lives, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is there to empower that anointing so that what we're called to do, we don't lack resources to achieve for you. And Father, we want to safeguard our relationship with you. So Lord, if we repent of the times when we have tried to live lives which are not out of that place of abiding or remaining loving you, we ask for your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, and connect us back in and say, yeah, I want to be with you. We remember that psalm. Spend time with me. Because I want to speak with you. I want to speak one-to-one. Thank you, Lord, you invite us into that friendship of one-to-one. Heartbeat time. So, Lord, move our hearts for what moves yours. Move our hearts for whatever task or thing that you want to achieve through us, so that we bear abiding fruit, so that when we come before you, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, when it comes in all its fullness, we get a well done and a reward. We don't want to earn that, but we just want to do that because we love you. So abide in us and connect us fully in, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.